This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our feature, Justice and Peace. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Francis celebrated his patron saint's day, St. George, this Tuesday, April 23rd, which was declared a holiday in the Vatican. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, the Holy Father issued a message on X, the former Twitter, reminding Catholics that the love we receive from the Lord is the force that transforms our lives and enables us to love. We are able to love, he added, only because the Lord has loved us, because he pours his own spirit of holiness into our hearts. His love heals and transforms us, he concluded. Vatican Radio had the privilege on Tuesday of receiving Bishop Alex Rodiong Sakol of Yei Catholic Diocese in South Sudan, who updated us on the developments in the country since the visit of Pope Francis early February last year.
As we speak now, we are talking of the elections coming in December. Some of the political parties are saying we are not ready. We are not ready not because we don't like elections, but because the necessary conditions are not in place. That has sent a very bad signal to the ruling party, who wants that elections be done. The president has said several times he don't like to continue on with the transitional government. It's already too much. Let us end this scenario and we go for elections so that the people elect. Which is a good thing, certainly. That is a very positive thinking, that we need people to be elected, not just to be appointed or through peace agreements. But then from the other side, the other political parties are not given space to also bring out their voices and to work together to bring those prerequisites needed for good elections to take place, like the making of the constitution. It is still in the process. There is already an election commission in place, yes. But this election commission is going to be facing these difficulties of whether the constitution is going to be in place or not before the elections, whether the army is going to be unified. All as we speak now, the army is not yet unified.
Bishop Rodiong Sakol also had a word of appreciation for Vatican Radio.
I would like to thank the staff of Radio Vatican for their dedication. We, as South Sudanese and the church in South Sudan, we are always in connection with Radio Vatican. We send some news here, then we also get the news from here. You know, we follow more or less what is going on in the church in Africa through this program of Vatican Radio for Africa, but also the Universal Church. We get the news about the Holy Father's activities, and that to us is enriching that we are together. The Universal Church and the local church, we are together. We are not alone. The visits of the Pope and even some of the cardinals visiting us recently, we have Cardinal Michael Chen, who came to visit us. So we can see that the Universal Church is not leaving us alone. We are together, and I would like to say, let us keep ourselves together. You continue to pray for us in the church in South Sudan. It's a church that is undergoing some difficulties, but the Lord is there and is giving us hope, and that church will rise. We who are new bishops coming up, we have entered into this scenario of difficulties, but with the grace of God, we are going to overcome them. You pray also for the peace process that is going on in South Sudan, in particular the elections that are going to happen in December. Though people are not satisfied about their preparations, let us hope it doesn't trigger us to another conflict, but that it become instead a moment for change for peace and change for reconciliation in the country.
Meanwhile, the Sudan and the South Sudan Catholic Bishops' Conference issued recently a statement reiterating its support of the position of the Dicastery for the Evangelization of Peoples, which in May last year suspended Father Johnny Mathiang Machol, who was the main suspect in the 2021 attempted murder of the then Bishop-elect of Rumbek Diocese, the Right Reverend Christian Kalasale. The dicastery had said that Father Machol, who had been sentenced to 14 years in jail by a South Sudanese court, had incurred an automatic suspension, which meant that he could not exercise his priestly ministry. He was released from jail last month after a court of appeal dismissed the charges against him. In the statement, the bishops of Sudan and South Sudan said Father Machol is still suspended from the priestly ministry in accordance with the church law. He is forbidden to celebrate Holy Mass and to administer the sacraments. The Archbishop of Abuja in Nigeria, His Grace Ignatius Kaigama, has condemned the indifference of some of the country's politicians to the sufferings of the citizens. Speaking from Abuja on Sunday, he said many Nigerians have been affected by the declining economy and the rising inflation, which has led to a general rise in the prices of goods and services. Currently, the inflation is at 30%. Archbishop Kaigama noted that despite the worsening economic situation, some people in high positions continue to become richer by illegally diverting resources meant for the common good to benefit themselves, while majority of Nigerians sink into poverty. Quoting Pope Francis, who some time back said a shepherd must smell like his or her sheep, Archbishop Kaigama said Nigerian corrupt government officials instead prefer to carry the smell of the very expensive perfumes they buy in Dubai, Paris, New York, and London. He added that it is the selfishness of corrupt Nigerian political leaders that is forcing many youth to flee to other countries in search of survival. The Archbishop of Luanda in Angola, His Grace Filomeno Vieira Diaz, has issued a message to the faithful in all the parishes in his diocese, inviting them to dedicate the last Sunday of every month, beginning with May, to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament as part of the preparations for the Jubilee Year 2025. Pope Francis announced the start of the Year of Prayer on January 21st this year in preparation for the Catholic Church's 2025 Jubilee Year. Archbishop Vieira Diaz reminded the faithful that adoration of the Blessed Sacrament facilitates a true encounter with Christ, noting that every true encounter with Christ gives rise to holiness. Prayer, he said, provides the space in which holiness takes shape. The Auxiliary Bishop of Nairobi in Kenya, the Right Reverend Wallace Nganga, has appealed to youth in the country not to become parasites by relying on the possessions of their parents and guardians, but to work hard to build their future. Bishop Nganga was speaking a few days ago in Nairobi at the closing Holy Mass of a week-long workshop for the members of the Missionary Youth Movement in the Archdiocese of Nairobi. He reminded young people that the role of parents and guardians is to provide formal and informal education, to teach their children in the values of society, to form the characters of their children, and to provide them with all the necessities of life when they are still minors. But when they have grown up to become majors, the young people are expected to utilize the education they have received to become independent. Bishop Nganga encouraged the youth to prepare for their future by working hard in school and by cultivating a close relationship with Christ. Reports from the Holy Land say Israeli security forces continue to attack the Palestinian Strip of Gaza, killing more civilians on a daily basis. Israel is fighting in retaliation for the attack carried out against its people by Palestinian Hamas Islamic militants in October last year. We have a report on the latest from there.
Israeli bombardment has continued across Gaza, with reports of deadly attacks in Nusayrat refugee camp in the center of the enclave and in Rafah in the south. A baby was saved in Rafah on Monday after its mother was critically injured in an airstrike. Here's Dominic Allen, UNFPA representative for Palestine.
Heroic doctors in Gaza were able to save the life of the baby from the womb of the mother as she passed away from the head injury she'd sustained. And this emergency cesarean section, which was delivered at a hospital in Rafah, ensured that the baby's life could continue. But sadly, the mother, Sabrine Al-Sakani, who was 30 weeks pregnant, lost her life, was killed through injuries sustained by this airstrike.
In Geneva, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Right to Health highlighted the huge toll on mental health that recent months and decades of violence have taken on the enclave's besieged population and on medical professionals. Dr. Tlaleng Mofokeng told journalists that it was not normal to anticipate that your life could be extinguished in any moment, nor for children to grow up with that level of trauma. But for decades, that has been normalized for the people of occupied Palestinian territory, she insisted. To date, Gazan health authorities report that more than 34,000 Palestinians have been killed and some 77,000 wounded in Israeli attacks on Gaza since the 7th of October. A child dies every 10 minutes in the enclave, according to the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, which issued a fresh call to end the violence and to allow desperately needed humanitarian aid into the enclave. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
As you heard on this program, the Upper House of Parliament in Britain, also known as the House of Lords, approved a bill on Monday paving the way for the government to send illegal migrants to Rwanda from where their applications for asylum would be processed. The bill had faced a lot of hurdles in court, especially with regard to fears that the human rights of the deportees would be violated on arrival in Rwanda. The British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak issued a statement on Tuesday calling the passing of the bill a step forward and a fundamental change in the global equation on migration. He said the passing of the bill sends a clear signal that whoever enters Britain illegally will not be able to stay there. About 52,000 people could be sent to Rwanda if the bill is signed into law. A summit organized by Nigeria to discuss insecurity in West Africa ended on Monday with a call for more regional cooperation in fighting terrorism. The summit was attended mainly by West African heads of state and government. Nigerian President Bola Tinubu, Ghana's President Nana Akufo-Addo, and Togolese President Foru Nyasimbe called for more cooperation in sharing intelligence and for the creation of a standby military force. Countries such as Chad, Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso are suffering frequent attacks by Islamic militants linked to the Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State terrorist organizations. Ghana, Togo, Benin, and the Ivory Coast are also beginning to suffer the cross-border spill of the violence. The participants expressed concern about the smuggling of small arms into the West African region, which has partly accelerated the violence. Reports from Burundi say the tiny country is experiencing severe floods that have been caused by heavy rains that started late last month. The rains have caused a rise in the water level of Lake Tanganyika, forcing some of the water to invade the port of Bujumbura, disrupting business. In other parts of the country, the floods have destroyed farms, houses, schools, roads, and bridges. The Burundian government said last week that 204,000 people have been affected by flooding, while 98,000 have been internally displaced. And now, our feature, Justice and Peace. As you heard on this program last week, a two-day workshop organized by the Holy See's Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue for Bishop Coordinators of the Episcopal Commissions for Interreligious Dialogue and Pastoral Agents involved in Interreligious Dialogue in Africa and in Madagascar ended in the Kenyan capital Nairobi on Wednesday, April 10th. The workshop, you recall, was guided by the theme Christianity in Dialogue with Islam and African Traditional Religion, Challenges and Opportunities. The participants included bishops, cardinals, priests, religious, and lay people who were involved in the promotion and real practical interreligious dialogue, and those teaching courses on interreligious dialogue in Catholic institutions. The organizers invited also Muslim academics who presented papers. In their presentations, the participants noted generally that religions can play a greater role in building a culture of peace, reconciliation, and fraternity, and that this can be done through education and engagement in interreligious dialogue. One of the participants was Father Dr. William Dikosi Mofokeng from the Diocese of Bethlehem Free State in South Africa, who is a lecturer in missiology at St. John Vianney Major Seminary, located in Pretoria, South Africa. He presented a paper on fostering a fraternal society through dialogue with the followers of the African traditional religion. I got in touch with him shortly before he left Nairobi to return to South Africa, and he explained first his impression of the dialogue at the workshop.
It's very good. I think it's needed. And it was good that it was held here in Africa. And all the participants, bishops, you know, the cardinals who were here, were very positive. So the discussion was open and frank. I was very happy that I also took part in this consultation workshop.
You were one of the presenters of papers. What was your paper about?
My paper was about the relationship, especially with the ATRs, you know, the African traditional religions, that what was the main thing there was that we have to have a dialogue with them. We have to talk to them and understand, because I think they have something positive to also contribute to us, to learn from us. At the same time, we also have something to say to them. So that dialogue has to take place, and the door of dialogue, of encounter, should remain open. I was talking more about South Africa, but all over Africa, there are different ways, you know, of looking at these ATRs. But I think the main thing there is about the ancestors, to understand how they interact with the ancestors, because for them, they are either intercessors, you know, intermediaries between the living and the creator. And then we also come and say, hey, how do we talk about Jesus Christ now? Where do you bring Jesus Christ in the whole thing? So that was mainly what I was talking about.
How deeply rooted is the African traditional religion in the South African society?
It is there. Oh, well, definitely it is there. But you find that among Christians, baptized Catholics, there is a syncretism that on Sunday they are Catholics, they practice Christianity, but during the week, they go to the ATRs, you know, to the Sangomas, they consult, and they mix the two. Let me give an example. If it is a Palm Sunday, they take the leaves, the palms, and then they go to the Sangoma, and the Sangoma will mix that with the herbs. And after that, they say this is a strong concoction that they can use. And when they have problems in their families, the same thing. You know, they come to Father to pray for them, but at the same time, they go and consult and to ask, why are my children not getting married? Why am I sick? Why am I not getting healed? And they also go and consult for healing, you know, because they say maybe in the church is not as they would like it to be. So they also consult, even though they are still using holy water from the church, the holy water blessed by the priest themselves.
You say the Sangoma. The Sangoma, is it a traditional priest or a traditional god? What is it exactly?
A traditional healer is a Zulu concept. In the village, you can go to this healer, could be male or female, and then you get herbal medicine or you consult as to what is really happening in your life, and they can tell you whether the ancestors are saying something to you or you need to perform a ritual or a ceremony.
What are some of the similarities that exist between the Christian religion and the African traditional religion?
For the African traditional religions, they will have the ancestors. But the ancestors only help those who are in the family, their descendants. And then we ourselves, we have Jesus Christ. And the message of Jesus Christ is universal. So here we are talking about the universality of the mission of Jesus Christ. So we have to also move from there. They also have the community, the communal practice. So that we come today and say, when we do everything, when we come to religion, we also talk about being helped together as a community. Because what is important also in the ITR is family. And in the Catholic Church, we also talk about the family. What is also important is environment in the ATR. Pond, water, a tree, the shrine for them. We also have those in the church. So how do we come together and understand the whole thing? The concept of God for them, who is above, you know, the boldness, who is there? You know, how can we say that God is in our midst and we can talk to him, you know, directly? So there are also similarities, but there are also differences that we may sit down and talk about.
But now, for example, you have mentioned the concept of God. We Christians believe in one triune God. Triune means God in three, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you seem actually to have very good knowledge about the African traditional religion. What is their concept of God?
For them, the supreme being is God, who is above to some. The others, they will say, is no, below. But we cannot talk to him directly, and you know, the ancestors are in between. And then we ourselves as Christians, we talk about God, but the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God. So in that way, we have to help them to understand why we say God within the whole Trinity is one God, and is a God who hears our prayers, who heals, you know, who loves us all. So I think that concept of God, we have to come together and talk about, is the first thing we have to start with in our dialogue. Because I think their understanding of God and ours is not that far that we cannot really come together and come to an understanding of one God in Christianity and God within the Trinity.
You also talked about syncretism on the part of some of the faithful who have a leg in both sides. They come to the church, but also they go to the shrines of the African traditional religion. Now, how is the church in South Africa trying to handle a situation of this kind?
The Southern African Catholic Bishops Conference in the past 3 years, I think, started, you know, doing a research. They asked, you know, a priest, my colleague, to do a research in the whole conference area to interview all the adherents of the ATRs and the Sangomas. And then he traveled all over the country. So they have now issued also a paper, but it's not yet out, just a draft. And then I think in August they are going to meet so that they can issue a paper that all people can see. So I think that's a good start. Because this priest, I think as a team, and I was not part of them, but I heard about it, you know, went all over Southern Africa to interview them, and from different ethnics, from different tribes. You know, for example, the way the Xhosas will do it, the way the Sotus, the way the Zulus will do it, and he put everything together. So we are just waiting, expecting it, you know, this paper that we can all read and perhaps also contribute to it. So there is something happening in our conference area.
In that dialogue in Nairobi, the believers in the African traditional religion, the ATR, were they also invited?
They were not invited. For me, it was a setback. I hope the next workshop, you know, I don't know when that will be, they will also be invited from different tribes, like I said, from different ethnic groups, that we can all come together in a more, you know, relaxed setting and start sharing from there. So they were not there, unfortunately. So we relied on the research done on the desk or whatever, internet.
Ah, I see. What would you say about the relationship between the Sangomas and the leadership of the Catholic Church in South Africa? Is it a relationship of suspicion or is it a relationship of mutual respect with the purpose of trying to understand one another?
You cannot rule out the element of suspicion, really. But what I've realized that we are moving slowly to the element of understanding that even when they come to church, we accept them. And then we start dialoguing with them. Unlike previously when they were looked, you know, as if they are pagans or, you know, they have to be killed now. Not to be killed by the church, you know, but people around were killing them in the villages. So we are moving slowly to the point of understanding each other.
That is very good. I thank you so much, Father, for giving us this interview. I would like to wish you a safe journey back to South Africa.
Okay.
And our greetings to the seminarians that you teach and to your colleagues at the seminary.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. I came here with my bishop, so I did us a very good interaction.
Thanks. Greetings to him. Greetings to him.
Okay, I'll greet him to you. All right.
Thanks, Father.
Thanks. Bye.
Our thanks there to Father Dr. William Dikosi Mofokeng, a lecturer in missiology at St. John Vianney Major Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa. He was speaking a few days ago from Kenya's capital, Nairobi, where he participated in a workshop on Christianity in dialogue with Islam and the African traditional religion, organized by the Holy See's Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue. And that was Justice and Peace for this week. You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tomusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature Health and Healing and our segment on the Synod on Synodality. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.